It played out, and this man lost. Robert Woods said he was competing to be a number one. Didn't even make wide receiver five. Released by the Steelers today. The veteran known as Bobby Trees at the 50-minute mark, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Good weather tonight in St. Louis for Pirates baseball. Weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. So another one bites the dust at receiver for the Steelers. Woods made $745,000 to not suit up for the Steelers this year. It was a signing bonus that they guaranteed to him. They thought he was a lock to make this team. And then Scotty Miller opened eyes. And as Mark Cabali likes to say, every Super Bowl winner needs a Ben Skoranek. So you can't cut Ben Skoranek because of his special teams value to keep around a wide receiver in his 30s. So Robert Woods, who was playing late in the fourth quarter with Logan Woodside Thursday night in Carolina, which is never a good sign, was given the pink slip today.
Isn't that at that point just, hey, Robert, hopefully you can put some good tape out there and somebody will pick you up for their practice squad?
Yeah, didn't put really any tape out there.
No, he didn't.
Worth
anything.
Breaking down. All right, so update on wide receiver. A couple of Aaron Rodgers' buddies have been released today. And I think they're both intriguing for different reasons. Number one is, just happened. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, released by Seattle. Now, I would say at this time last year, I would have said, okay, he stinks. He was a drops machine in Kansas City, although he did make one huge catch in the AFC Championship game against Baltimore. But for the most part, was a guy that looked like he was worshed even as 2 years ago, or even as early as like October of last year. He got dealt to New Orleans last season and had, in eight games, 385 yards, averaged 22.6 yards per catch, and caught how many touchdowns?
Four.
He's in eight games.
He's a 50-50 ball guy. If you target him, there's a 50-50 chance you're going to either get a 20-plus yard gain or an incomplete pass.
If you project those numbers out to a full season,
almost 800 yards and eight touchdowns on 34 catches, which is hilarious levels of big play. But that's always been the book on
him. Yeah, but I mean, I would take that right now for a number two wide receiver. Those stats, eight touchdowns, 800 yards.
I believe for the duration of his career, and I'd have to check this, he averages 17.4 yards per reception, and for qualifying players in that exact time frame, I think that's the best in the league.
Yeah. And he played 4 years, as we know, with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. So that's why he's an Aaron Rodgers buddy.
I don't think his drops are as bad by the numbers either as his reputation suggests.
Oh my God,
They're just in horrible spots.
Yep.
Like every one of them is the Lima Swede drop against the Ravens as far as like big game and big situation.
And then Malachi Corley, who we talked a lot 2 years ago in the draft,
Western Kentucky,
was viewed as the next Deebo Samuel by the draft Knicks. He was shown the door by the Jets today, which drove home the theory that many people had that the reason why Corley was drafted by the Jets in the first place is because Aaron Rodgers wanted him. His claim to fame last year was that he was another one of these knuckleheads that thought he scored a touchdown and dropped the ball to celebrate at the goal line, and it went through the end zone for a touchback. And then he, I think, only played in a few more games and caught only two more balls. So he's a third-round pick in year two, just like Roman Wilson, who's already been cut. This is Aaron Rodgers, August of 2024, so this time last year, on Malachi Corley.
Malachi was my favorite receiver in the draft. Now, he might not have been the best on paper in the draft, but I really felt like he was going to fit in with what we're trying to do in his mindset and his ferocity. So I enjoy what we're bringing him in.
So Rodgers likes his ferocity, and he's not a traditional wide receiver. He's got some Cordarrelle Patterson in his game, let's say. So maybe that would intrigue him to Arthur Smith. So you got those two. You got Corley and MVS out there. Now, we also have an update on Jacoby Myers. This news broke yesterday. Myers demands a trade in Vegas, and then they sign Amari Cooper. And Steelers fans got excited like, oh my God, that this might mean a trade is coming. The Raiders got their Jacoby Myers replacement in Cooper. They can trade their disgruntled wide receiver now. Adam Schefter on McAfee Show today had this update on Myers.
My understanding is the Raiders had one team reach out to them. They wanted the Raiders to pay some of the $11 million salary, and the Raiders are not willing to do that, and they're not looking to deal him. So Jacoby Myers is going to be there, barring something unforeseen happening. I mean, they could decide a few games in, he's not happy, he's not behaving well, but they don't want to trade him, and they view him as a productive player. He's been a really good player, and he's entering the last year of his deal, so they want to hold on to him in Vegas. They're not looking to deal him, and right now, they have no intention of trading him.
All right, so that, I don't know, that slams that door shut. It's not locked and double bolted, but it doesn't sound like that's happening.
Well, I never thought that was going to happen, to be fair, and I don't think a lot of people who have seen these contract situations play out thought it would, because demand trade, you just want more money. In the end, he has them in a place where they probably need to just give him more money,
yeah,
and that's what's going to happen.
The morning show was going to do their best to maybe expose is the wrong word, but use their personal connections to Brandon Hunt, who is now like number two in command with Vegas. He's a Pittsburgh kid. He worked for the Steelers for a number of years. Basically, when Omar Khan got the job and he lost out on it, he was like, maybe this is not the right place for me to work anymore, because he thought he would be the Steelers' next GM.
Yes.
He went to Philly, and then he's in Vegas. Mm-hmm. And Neil, I think, either played with him or knows him through Pine Richland. Doran lived in his house.
Really?
Yeah. Doran lived in Brandon Hunt's house, is what someone texted me. And so they were both going to snoop around and see if they could get to the bottom of it. Or maybe even better yet, like, you know, twist his arm to make a trade. I don't know. But
come on.
Yeah, that does not sound reassuring that Jacoby Myers is going to get traded to the Steelers. Do MVS or Corley do anything for Malzi?
Not,
that sounds like a no.
No.
If you have to make a guttural noise and just...
They're not a good enough offense to have MVS come in, and then if he drops a pass, like, you just... With the Chiefs, when he would drop a pass, you'd be like, well,
Malzi,
screw
the
it.
The Saints sucked last year. That was...
No, I'm going back to, like, just his drops in general. Like, when I think about the Steelers' offense, I almost think, like, nah, I can't have anyone in here who's got a drops reputation, because their drives are so fleeting that they need...
Okay,
they need
fair
to catch
enough,
everything.
But the,
I know, he was with
that
the
half season was the best half season he's ever had. His career high in yards is 690. His career high in touchdowns is 6. He had 4 and 8 games. I mean, I thought, saved his NFL career and extended his NFL career.
Well, do you have interest
season.
In him then?
Not really, because I'm not a huge fan of rental 30-year-olds when the quarterback's, you know, when I'm still the mindset, I'm thinking of the Steelers beyond 2025.
He basically had a 3-game stretch that was his entire season. Weeks 10, 11, and then 13.
I think Corley should end up on the Steelers practice squad. I think they should absolutely pick him up.
He's the much more interesting player of the two, for reasons of youth and kind of... He's somebody I'd rather take a lottery flyer on, stylistically.
We will have our answers on the Steelers at 4 o'clock. Maybe we'll get some more before then.
Larry Foote, 2-time Super Bowl champ. You're listening to the PM team on 93.7 The Fan.
Thanks, Larry.
Love that for us.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. The Fan is your home for Pitt football. They reconvened the city game, dormant since 1939 on Saturday. Pat Bostick will be back in the broadcast booth as color commentator. He's also now the host of the Pat Narduzzi Show on Wednesday nights, which will start on our sister station, KDK AM, 100.1 FM, and then in October, once the Pirate season ends, come over to 93.7 The Fan on us Wednesday nights at 6. Pat, congratulations on all your success.
Thank you, Andrew. I appreciate it.
Let me start with this, Pat. What went wrong with Kenny Pickett? Why is he now on his fourth team in 4 years, in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, it's I think it's a number of things. I think that it was a tall order and a tough task for him coming to Pittsburgh out of the gate for a number of reasons, not the least of which is following Ben Roethlisberger. and you know the state of the offense at the time, which would take a lot to unpack. His readiness as well. I remember talking to you guys about that draft class and where he stood in that draft class was higher than it might have been in other classes, and that's nothing not to take anything away from him. I think that really framed the rest of his career at this point. To this point, was how Pittsburgh went. Obviously, Philadelphia was a great change of pace for him, being a backup, and then Cleveland was another really odd situation. So, for him to go to Vegas behind Geno Smith, I think is a much better situation for him. One that fits the opportunity to play. They've got some parts around him, and will be much more functional than what he would have had. Certainly up the road in Cleveland, but it's been an odd journey. It's been circuitous, but again, I wanted it to work in Pittsburgh, but for all the reasons, including them not taking Dan Marino in the early 80s, there was a lot of pressure on him, and I don't think everything was pulling in the direction of him succeeding here.
Pat, we saw him play here, you know, for the majority of his time in the NFL. It's been games with the Steelers, so we sort of got a sense of what he could and couldn't do and what definitely wasn't a perfect situation. What do you think he still would be capable of if he got a legitimate shot somewhere else, whether it's with the Raiders or even another team somewhere down the road? Like, where is your level of belief, I guess might be the wrong word, but I'll use it in terms of Kenny's ability to play the game at the NFL level and be a solid enough NFL player?
Yeah, I think, I mean, the one play I always see from the Dallas game last year is the play where, I guess it's a meme or a GIF or GIF or whatever you call it, where he, you know, the ball comes loose. But if you watch the game and how he played in that game with obviously a great supporting cast in Philly, he played really well and played on with broken ribs and otherwise. So I think he's accurate. I think he's tough. I think he's mobile enough to make plays with his feet. And he's smart and dependable. He's as serviceable a backup at this point as anyone in the league and has proven he can win in this league. Is he Jalen Hurts as a runner? No. Is he Josh Allen as a thrower? No. We knew all those things 4 years ago. I think for him to take the right opportunity at the right time, where that is, if it's Vegas, great. But obviously it wasn't going to be Cleveland. It wasn't Pittsburgh at the time he was here. And Philly, the deck was kind of stacked with what they have. So, you know, is it a Baker Mayfield journey? Does he have that in him? Only time will tell.
I would say no is one of his biggest champions. I do not see that for him. You do?
Would you have seen that in Baker Mayfield when he was in Cleveland?
Baker Mayfield was the top overall pick, and the only reason that got sabotaged, I thought, was because they kept running him out there injured, and he insisted on playing injured. But, like, the guys, the tools, even though he's not a tall guy, were always there. Light, just ridiculous arm.
I mean, I think he threw 28 touchdown passes.
Yeah, he did have the rookie touchdown record there.
He did, but he also played for three teams before he became a starter, a true starter, and a top of the league starter.
I mean, he beat the Steelers in a playoff game here, though. I mean,
he did, and then got benched.
I guess, right? Pat, my thing with Baker is I do just think there is a tool there that Kenny doesn't have, and that's a huge – he does have a massive arm for the NFL. Like, he can make every single throw from every platform.
Certainly he does. And would you have said the same thing about Geno Smith early in his career?
No. I mean, Geno Smith is the outlier. You're right. Geno Smith got punched in the face by a teammate, got benched, and didn't play for 10 years. So I thought I agree. I had written off Geno Smith.
Now, am I saying Kenny is going to be Baker Mayfield or Geno Smith? I'm saying a lot would have to go right for that to happen. A lot would have to go right,
Pat,
around him. And to this point, not a lot has gone right for him around him.
Pat, you still obviously have talked to him. He was on your show on your Saturday Panther Insider show after he won the Super Bowl, and he was coming back here for the Pitt spring game. How do you think all the trades and stuff have affected his confidence or self-esteem as a quarterback? You know how important the mental side of the game is. Where do you think his head's at after all these moves?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. But if you look back on his college career, aside from his last season, which was special, it wasn't all, you know, sunshine and roses for him. You know, he threw for 8 yards in an ACC championship game against Clemson in 2018. We played in a game where Pitt got blown out at home against Penn State. In 2020, his season was shortened due to injury, and he stuck through all of it. ended up having one of the best years in program history and by a quarterback that we've seen around here in a long time. So he's been through these times of trials and tribulations. I think certainly this is on another scale and at another level. And you can't help but wonder if the door's closing if you're in his shoes. But he keeps getting picked up, and it's going to be whether or not he takes advantage of that next opportunity that's presented to him, where he knew he was going to have those opportunities here at Pitt because of Pat Narduzzi's loyalty to him and the opportunities that were going to be presented to him ahead. So it's got to be difficult. But like I said, he's tough, he's resilient, and it's not like he hasn't battled through adversity before. Again, this is just at another level.
Well, Pat, I'll use that to switch over then to Pitt here. Eli Holstein kind of got both sides of the coin last year. The, oh my God, this team is undefeated. Are they going to be sniffing around potentially the college football playoff? Then he got banged up pretty good and the wheels came off. So what do you expect from Eli Holstein after he kind of saw all the peaks and valleys in one season, his first at Pitt?
Yeah, I expect to see more consistency from him. Even in the 7-0 start, you know, there were peaks and there were valleys and there were moments of certainly brilliance, but you know, you kind of felt like, you know, Pitt was playing with a terror on fire at times during that 7-0 start with the comebacks against Cincinnati and against West Virginia. I'd like to see, you know, more routine performance from him and candidly from the entire offense, because there were fits and starts throughout last season, and he's certainly a part of that. What they've done up front is a part of that. But I know a lot more about this team going into 2025 than I did last year. You know, last year there was a complete overhaul on offense on the staff. There was personnel changes. It's a brand new offensive scheme that was foreign to any Pat Narduzzi football team from a tempo standpoint and a schematic standpoint. Now with that being in year two, with some personnel continuity, most notably your quarterback, the whole staff back on that side of the ball, I think we all know more and they all feel more comfortable with what they have going into it. And I expect that to be reflected in Eli's play.
Pat, Malzi is a diehard Pitt fan, but he did have the audacity yesterday to put six teams ahead of Pitt in the ACC this year. Do you think Malzi's out of his mind?
No, I think there's a group of about five. You know, we had Wes Durham on, Dorn and I, last Thursday morning, and there's a group of about four to five teams below your reigning playoff teams and Miami that are all in the same kind of weight class, right? It's Louisville, it's Pitt, it's Duke with, you know, Darian Mensah.
Georgia Tech's a pain in the ass with Haynes King and that way they run the ball. That team seems like another nightmare to play.
Right. So
a
there's
nightmare.
Just all
wow.
There's,
ask There's Georgia about those, it, Pony.
They beat them both times, but okay.
Ask them Georgia Bulldogs if they weren't sweating blood to win that game.
Right. Yeah, there's that group. So, I mean, how it sorts out will be, you know, we won't know till November. But, you know, I circle – certainly the West Virginia game week three is really important. Anytime you play that rivalry, obviously there's strings attached this year that are new and sometimes in some ways old. But – yeah, that game after a bye week against Louisville on the 27th of September, to me, will tell us a lot about this team. Win, lose, or draw against West Virginia on the road, certainly it's a rivalry, so you can throw it up. But that game against Louisville, you know, you can prove you're a contender in the conference. It's a team that reloads every year with a great coach in Jeff Brohm. They got Miller Moss from USC. They beat the tar out of you last year on the road. You go win that game, and you know I'll start to argue with Mulsey about those six
right.
teams.
Well,
out of
but Pat, as always, I let the results dictate how my opinion flows, so we might not have anything to argue about. We might just head to the first tee and go play a nice little match if all that happens.
Ultimately, it is all about what's in the pudding, whether it's Kenny, whether it's Pitt, whether it's the Steelers this year. It's ultimately all conjecture until, you know, there's the game starts and you have a W or an L in the column and your stat sheet is what it is. So that'll define it. And, but I'm excited. I'm excited for college football. I'm excited for NFL football. It's kind of got that feel in the air right now. And, you know, we've had a lot of list season, off season talk. I think it's time to talk some ball and see some ball.
Pat, your official Steelers record prediction in 2025 is?
11-7.
They only play 17 regular season games.
11-6 then. Sorry.
Okay. It's all right.
He's just projecting. He's just early because they're going to have an 18-game schedule soon enough.
Will they make the playoffs?
Yes.
Will they win a playoff game?
Yes.
Will they win multiple playoff games?
Ooh. No.
Okay. So they get to the divisional round.
But, yeah, it's as interested as I've been in a Steelers season in a long time. That includes when Kenny was in black and gold.
Will Aaron Rodgers be their quarterback in 2026?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
That's a big take right there.
Pat, we will listen tomorrow night and definitely be listening on Saturday afternoon. Thank you.
I appreciate it, boys. Thanks
a
lot.
There you go, Pat Bostic. 11-6.
Biggest take we've had on this so far from somebody.
It's the most ambitious. That's what prediction.
It's the most ambitious, but like, man, we've gotten multiple insiders or analysts or beat writers 10-7 make the playoffs, lose in the wild card round. Pat has actually gone giraffe mode here and actually put his neck out there a little bit.
Donnie, have you ever heard of giraffe mode before? Is that the first? Did Malzi just coin a phrase with us, or is giraffe mode a thing that people say now? Because I like that expression. I've never heard that before.
I mean, no, but it does no make creature sense. Has a longer neck, right?
Right. You stick your neck out there. You've gone giraffe
mode. How about a bronchiosaurus?
Oh, don't get Lennox or now Ace started on that. Or Stella, it sounds like. They'll just start rattling them off.
Welcome back to the Black and Gold Auction House. Here's how the game works. A Steelers prop gets put up for bid. The three of us, Andrew Filippone, Chris Muller, Donnie Football, we bid on it. That sets the price. If the player goes over that number, we get a point. The person who won the bid. If that player fails to get to that number, the person who won the bid loses a point. And we keep track of these things all season long. Another thing to wet the whistle and get you ready for Steelers football this fall.
We did a bunch of preseason ones, so we actually have real standings. Pony and I tied at -1. Donnie, he chose not to decide. He still made a choice. He's just sitting there pretty zero so far in the lead. Pony missed both Will Howard's preseason passing yards and Mason Rudolph's.
That sucked.
And then Caleb Johnson couldn't get me, I think, like 6 or 7 more yards is what I needed out of him.
And then what did Pony hit on?
Roman Wilson's preseason receiving yards. He did hit over 43 there.
Today, my friends, we'll be starting with Aaron Rodgers' passing yards in 2025. How many air yards will A-Rod 12 have for the Steelers?
No, not air yards. How many passing yards? Because air yards are two different things. Okay.
Thank you for getting technical here. I will go with 2,000 to start.
I'll go with 2,700.
I'll go 2,900.
I will go an even 3,000. Who was in that movie? Bernie Mac? Mr. 3,000?
The late Bernie Mac.
The late, great Bernie Mac.
I'll go 3,200.
I'll go 3,250.
33.
I'll go 350. 3,350.
No one has ever said that number like that.
I know.
3,350 yards to Pony right now.
Yep.
I'll go 3,351.
Going once?
3,352.
55. Come on, you wusses.
We're not as wussy as Craig
You went three
Riley.
Whole more yards.
You girly men.
He's trying to goad us, Donnie.
I'll take it right here. Going once.
3,375.
3,375. Aaron Rodgers threw for 3,800 yards last year. To Donnie, I'll go 80.
I'll go 81.
I'll go 85.
I'll go 3,400 even.
3,400 to Malzi. Going once.
3,401.
3,405.
You guys are just Price is Right SOBs here today, apparently.
3,405 to moi. Aaron Rodgers passing yards. Going once.
3,410.
3,410 to Donald J. Football. Going once. Going twice. Sold, you bought him.
I don't want to be holding that bag.
Why? It's not a bad bag.
No, it's not. I think the Vegas number for him is like at 32, though.
Other than
injury is the worry.
Dude, Every year of his career, he's been a starter. He's gone over that number.
I'm just telling you, the Vegas number was 3,200.
Every year, except the years he's been injured, he's gone over that, Chris. What were we doing there?
I'm aware. I think we're both wondering if a 41-year-old man is going to stay healthy all season.
Correct. We probably could have pushed him up to like 3,800.
Where was your kill number there? I always like to ask this after the fact.
Like 35, 50, 36.
I was starting to get squirrely even into the 3,400s, if I'm being honest.
Clearly, you stopped bidding like 2 minutes in.
Yeah, and then I just started lobbing insults at you guys. That's kind of a good misdirection.
Yeah, I mean, the way I feel, like if he gets hurt, he gets hurt. He's not going to hit it. But it's like if he misses, I don't know, if he misses four games, yeah, he's not going to hit it.
I mean, Don, if he misses two, you still might hit it.
This is the Steelers.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Though.
If he misses like a collective month of the season,
then you're out.
He's not going to hit it, but I'll just take my chances.
I'm just laughing like a hyena at the thought of how Donnie will feel like he's on easy street if Rodgers comes out of the chute blazing with like three straight 300-yard games, but then the specter of injury will hang over you.
All right, Jaylen Warren rushing yards this season. I will start. I'll go with 300.
I'll go with 400.
I'll go 450. Jaylen Warren, 450 yards to me going once.
475.
475 to Donnie. I'll go 480.
I'll go 490.
490 to Malzi. Going once.
492.
1492.
Columbus sailed the ocean blue.
492. Jaylen Warren. Rushing yards to Don Football. Going once, going twice, I'll go 500.
520.
525.
Mm-hmm. Now we start to suss him out here. 540.
541.
560.
561.
Mm-hmm. 580.
580 to Malzi going once. Jaylen Warren rushing yards in 2025 to Malzi going twice.
581.
Oh!
You dog. I didn't think that was happening.
581 to Don going once. Going twice.
600.
600 to Malzi. I'll go 610.
Ah, now he rejoins the fray.
Yep. You guys know I'm a Jaylen Warren guy.
Could have fooled me. Doesn't sound like you were ready to jump back in there when Donnie snuck in.
6'10 to
6'15.
Me.
6'15.
6'20. 620 rushing yards for Jaylen Warren to me going once, going twice.
621.
Oh! Oh, my
bastard.
Goodness.
625. Why are you guys doing this to me? Can't you just let me have him? 625 rushing yards, Jaylen Warren in 2025. Going once, going twice. Sold, I bought him.
It's just a very interesting number. He only has topped that once in 3 years. And what are you more worried about with him? Him getting dinged up a little bit?
Yes.
Or him fumbling the ball early in the season and Mike Tomlin losing confidence in him.
But the dinged up thing is maybe an exaggeration or maybe that's an unreal. Like,
let me phrase it this way. Not dinged up such that he misses games.
I was
going to
say, he's only missed a couple in his career.
But that he's playing at less than 100% and is a little bit of a reduced player as a result. I mean, the guy averaged almost 5.5 a rip when he was pretty healthy in 23. He played through injuries last year and was a much less effective player.
I kind of think I got him lower than... I'm surprised you guys let me have him at that price.
I think there's a couple unknowns here. Does he hold on to the football? And when Caleb Johnson does get touches, does he do enough that it starts to turn into a real job share?